Look, my first Mardi Gras was absolutely incredible, but it was also like the scariest freaking night of my life because I was very young, I was in the closet, no one knew I was gay except the people that I was with, and it was basically 20 of us Arabs, all in the closet, like closet Arabs, you know, some of us also Muslim. There was a lot at stake, but we were like, you know, stuff this. We want to experience what this is like. So basically, we donned costumes head to toe. I was dressed as a Saudi Arabian sheikh. The irony there is hilarious.
The hookup. Love and f***ing. On Triple J.
Warning. Sex and adult themes.
Imagine going from spending the majority of your life in the closet, then going to your very first Mardi Gras parade. The floats, the glitter, the boys in booty shorts. Heaven. With me on the pod is journalist and presenter Patrick Abood and Faustina Agoli. We're talking about why we still need Mardi Gras, aka Gay Christmas, coming out, and when Pat was almost in a sham wedding. Thank you so much for being with us, guys.
Oh, pleasure. It's great to be here.
You really bring in the spirit.
Yeah, it's gay Christmas, y'all.
bring the glitter vibes to you through the airwaves.
So from the outside, to some people, Mardi Gras might look just like a bit of an excuse to whack on your glittery short shorts and have a bit of a party. It's a bit more than that, isn't it, Patrick?
Oh, yeah, it is, of course. I mean, you know, we wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for, you know, back in 78 when Mardi Gras wasn't a parade and a party with people in pink sequins and shiny glitter. It was a riot, you know. People were out on the streets fighting for equality, fighting for an anti-discrimination. That's why we're here now. So it's really important. It's funny, like, I think a lot of younger people kind of forget that because when you get to Oxford Street on the night, you know, the vibe's so great, it's a party. But, I mean, it is really important to remember that there are still 78ers around now who tell their stories and recount how brutal it was that night. And, you know, we owe our freedoms now to those people. So it's incredibly important to remember them all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And what's it like going to Mardi Gras for the first time? I mean, Faustina, do you remember your first time?
Yeah, my first time actually was hosting the Mardi Gras, and that was last year.
What?
Yeah.
And oh, my God.
She was amazing. Come on. Oh,
thank you.
Just straight to the throne.
Right. Just totally thrown into the deep end. But it was incredible because I got to see what an atmosphere could be like if we all just accepted one another. And it was a beautiful experience. And everybody was in such a great mood, and everybody, you know, screamed out, you know, happy gay Christmas or happy Mardi Gras to one another, and we all had a great time. But I think an extension of what Pat was saying earlier is, you know, the baton has now been passed on for marriage equality and for true equality to still exist in our Australian society. So there's still a lot of stuff to do, a lot of work to do.
There's always
work to be done,
of
honey.
Of course, the fact that there's still discrimination, you know, day to day, there's always something to fight for.
Absolutely.
There's always going to be something to fight for.
Pat, do you remember your first time?
Oh, man, I don't know if anyone want to talk about this, Hannah.
Yes, you do.
It was a long time ago. Look, my first Mardi Gras was absolutely incredible, but it was also like the scariest freaking night of my life because I was very young, I was in the closet, no one knew I was gay except the people that I was with, and it was basically 20 of us Arabs, all in the closet, like closet Arabs, you know, some of us also Muslim. There was a lot at stake, but we were like, you know, stuff this. We want to experience what this is like. So basically, we donned costumes head to toe. I was dressed as a Saudi Arabian sheikh. The irony there is hilarious.
Right?
Oh my God.
Given the way Saudi Arabia treats our people, you know, the LGBTQI people I'm referring to there. But yeah, we had an incredible time. And, you know, this kind of exhilarating feeling of being in the moment, in that vibe, in that atmosphere, and being so scared at the same time that someone would see us.
It's more fun.
Yeah, it was kind of like, it was amazing and exhilarating, but at the same time, it was so freaking nerve-wracking. And when we got to the end of it, everybody was just like so gunning to get to the party and, you know, be in a kind of safe zone because it was being telecast, of course. So it was a huge risk that everyone took, but the fact that we did it was kind of like the beginning of my coming out process. So it was a very special night for me.
Yeah, you were just dipping your toes, I guess, in a very big way in the Mardi Gras waters,
just,
I guess.
Just risking a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty special.
And so it also must be pretty important if you're living out in a rural area to, you know, come and be amongst your community as well.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a really kind of a current thought for me. I've just come back from being on the road for 6 weeks shooting the stories that we're going to feature in this year's broadcast, which are all incredible. A lot of them, the majority, are from regional Australia. Mm. And it's really important that we get out there because, you know, when you see the broadcast, it's very, you know, city-centric. But there are lots of people out in the regional communities that are experiencing stuff that we have no clue about. And for the first time this year, there's one particular photo I'm really excited about. It's called Country Crowd. And it's basically a bunch of farmers who are pretty much all closeted marching for the first time.
Oh. Whoa!
Yeah, it's pretty great. So I've just come back from Tasmania with some of these people on their farms, you know, telling their stories.
Farmer wants a bay.
Mate, it is super hot farmers, let me tell you. Hot ranger farmers. Babin. Had a great time.
Amazing.
But also really important stories. But yeah, that's the thing. There's so many people, incredible people that make up our community that are way outside of the cities. And, you know, to know that this year there's going to be a float that represents a really big contingent of those farmers this year is really exciting because they don't have a space where they are. So this is the one night where they can come out and say, we're here too. You know, don't forget about us. We're going through stuff. We need you to not forget about us.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Now, Faustina, you only came out a few years ago on your 31st birthday.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago, yeah.
Did anyone know before then?
A really tiny group of women in London did, and that probably was just about it. Then a couple
of Aussie
friends.
Sounds like you're a spy or something.
Well, I think it's kind of typical of a coming out story because I think with a lifetime of conditioning of thinking that the world is purely hetero from, you know, the stories we see in movies and television and just basic general society, you start to kind of believe it and start to think that it's not okay to be gay. And that was very much the camp that I was in. And I actually needed to be away in a place where there was complete anonymity for me. And I just so happened to have met a group of gay women who were just awesome. And through them just talking, they made me realize that who I truly was. And they made a safe space for me to come out, not only to myself, clearly to myself, but also say it out loud to them. And that was the first time I kind of did that. And that was a couple of years ago, which was frightening for me.
So glad you did, girl.
Yeah, thank you. And it's because as well, you know, there were a couple of occasions where I thought I was, and I'd kind of confided in some people or a couple of people in Australia, and I was on the receiving end of pretty bad homophobia. So that kept me closeted for many, many years. So,
and was that friends or family or?
Yeah, it was somebody that was kind of close to me at the time. And I thought that I could confide in that person and it backfired massively.
Oh, that's awful. So that must have really put you on the back foot for a while.
Totally, totally. I remained closeted until I was in London and felt that it was kind of safe amongst those women. So it was huge for me. That night that I realised that I was, you know, gay and I admitted it to myself, I cried. I sobbed in my pillow. And it was more from the frustration of not fully realising it. And also, you know, flashes of knowing that I, you know, really was not truly equal in Australia. But then, you know, the next morning it felt like I was a whole new person. And it's not like I, you know, instantly downloaded every dating app right away and started just swiping through my...
Just the L word front to back.
And watch the L word back to back. No, I still haven't seen the L word, which is, I guess, it's probably a crime for me. It just took a long time just to get the courage. And they, over the course of many, many months, they were kind of the women that I would go to and speak about things. And they also helped me come out to my family. And that I was so nervous when I was going to tell my mum that I was gay. We had just watched The Imitation Game, I think. And even that day, it was like on the tip of my tongue and I'm like, I can't do it. I can't tell my mum. And then New Year's Eve hit and New Year's Day came by and I'm just like, I really need to tell my mum. And then I eventually did. I just had to give my mum the space to kind of, she was shocked, but she just kind of had to also mourn the loss of who she thought I was. Mm. And know that it's not me that will have a husband and children down the line. I could have a wife and kids. So just swap that out. It's a pretty easy swap. But, other family members were awesome. What I truly felt was the best way to do it was to send them all emails, and I explained to them the arc of and the difficulty it took for me to come out, for them to truly empathise with me rather than maybe just look at me with judgment. And from that, they really did empathise. And what I found quite heartening was, you know, a lot of them said, you know, we wish we knew how difficult it was for you, and we wish we were there for you. So that still is really poignant for me, and it still gets me choked up at times. But, I've been pretty lucky, pretty lucky.
And so how are they now? It's all completely good?
It's super good. It's super good. They're just really, really supportive people, and I'm just really, really fortunate to have great family in my life, and to have also lived in London and in LA, where things are far more progressive, where there is marriage equality. I still get nervous when I'm out with other women or if I'm dating somebody and holding hands or something, but I've got to kind of iron that out.
And is that just here in Australia or overseas?
That's been overseas, but yeah, where I'm still kind of nervous. And I think I'd imagine if I was dating somebody in Australia, I think I'd be still kind of nervous to be public with somebody.
But you hold my hand all the time in public.
You guys are the perfect couple.
Totes love in public.
Yeah, but it's something, yeah, I think I have to work through, and I think a lot of people are kind of like that. I mean, Premier Andrews only a few months ago, you know, apologised, you know, on behalf of, you know, the state of Victoria and said, you know, if you're on a Melbourne tram, it's okay to hold your partner's hand, you know, and that's a big deal. I sobbed when he said that, because I still have these hang-ups about, you know, copping abuse on the street if I were to be open with somebody that I sincerely loved.
We've got a text on 0439 757 555 from Chad, who says, "I'm marching in the Mardi Gras as a naval officer to show support for the community." Well, hello, yay, sailor.
Hello, sailor indeed.
Thanks for getting in touch with us, Chad. We've got a call from Carl. Thanks so much for giving us a bell. You've got a question for us?
Of course. Just a quick one. Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
It's okay. It's
like
cool.
I come from a really religious family. Who have only recently come out as gay too. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to ask the audience whether they thought me going to Mardi Gras next year was a good way to express myself and to come out and really, I don't know the word for it, just be myself. I'm at university at the moment, and my orientation group, the Grayo group, they've been super supportive of me. And they're the ones that convinced me to phone up. And okay. I'd just like to hear the audience's opinions.
Well, I'm going to throw this to the only gay man here.
Hey,
Pat,
mate.
What do you think?
Yeah, look, you know, it's I hear this question a lot. So you're not alone, firstly. You should know that. It's a really kind of nerve-wracking decision to kind of, it's one thing to come out to yourself and to your family and to those around you or your friends, but then going to Mardi Gras is like a whole nother coming out in a way. And, you know,
exactly.
I can speak from personal experience. 10 years ago when I first went, it was really nerve-wracking. But I can tell you the one thing that I will never forget, like I will, you know, take this to the end of my days, the feeling of being in an environment where you're 100% accepted for who you are with no judgment, and you know, you're loved. There's so much love in the air, and there's a real sense of community. There's nothing else that can nothing else can compare to that. And once you experience that and you feel it, inevitably it will make you feel so much more comfortable with who you are, where you're at in your kind of coming out journey. And, you know, inevitably you'll also meet really incredible people that will make you feel great about who you are. So my advice is, absolutely, yes, you should go. If it's something you feel like you want to do, don't hold back. Go when you're ready to go.
Thank you so much.
You know, go when you're ready. And only you'll know that, really. Only you'll know when you're ready. Don't feel pressured by anyone. But if it's something that you feel afraid of, that fear is completely natural. Everybody in your position will feel the same kind of fear. Once you're there, the fear becomes absolute exhilarated kind of excitement and an amazing kind of energy that you'll experience.
Go to the ball, Carl. Yay. Can I add to Pat's notes? Is you know, Mardi Gras is also a festival. It's you know, the parade itself is kind of like the finale. So there's other really, really cool activities during the festival that maybe, you know, if you've got anxiety, I suffer from really bad anxiety myself. So, I mean, Pat, I think he was kind of judging a dog contest or something like that, like a dog cuteness contest. Like, I would have gone to something like that if I was freaked out about, you know, throwing myself into a parade scenario with
It's a gradual process. You know, you can go and kind of watch from the sidelines. You don't have to be in the parade.
Yeah, Pat went in disguise.
I went incognito. So
exactly. That would be what I do. It's just a whole community where you're anonymous but accepted.
Yeah.
And it's got me really excited.
Oh,
that's
yay,
good.
That's
yay. Awesome. Yay. Happy gay Christmas, Carl.
Yay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for calling us.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pleasure.
So, Pat.
Hi.
Back to coming out.
Out
the closet.
She'll be coming out.
So your family are Lebanese and Palestinian. And before you came out, had there been any kind of discussion of homosexuality? Have you overheard conversations with them?
Absolutely not. My story is very different to Faustina's. It's been a really long journey, and I guess it's an ongoing journey with my family. My parents actually dropped me off here tonight very awkwardly because I was visiting them today, and they asked me what I was doing, and I still kind of hesitated to tell them I was going to talk about, you know, coming out to them because, as I said, it's an ongoing journey. But basically, you know, as an Arab Australian, there are certain kind of ideals that my parents and my family have brought from the homeland, and, you know, they had never met a gay person ever before I came out to them. And when I did, it was almost like, you know, they had a dream for me and that dream was dead immediately. It's like I killed their dream for me. But I very slowly made them understand that my dream is just a little bit different to the dream that they had for me, and I'm still the same person. Essentially, to cut a very long process short, we didn't talk for a very long time, for almost a year. And it took my parents a really long time to kind of come around to the idea that I was still the same person inside and they could love me as they always had. And it's only kind of less than 5 years ago that this all happened, so it's all still a little bit fresh for them. Mm. And when I first got asked to host the Mardi Gras broadcast, it was kind of like a big second coming out for me because it was okay for them, but there's this thing in our community around shame. And in Arabic, you say it's haram, or, you know, shubi'ulul nas, or shurahu'ulul alam, which all means the same thing. It means this is shameful and shame's going to come upon our family.
It's so, like the way Eskimos have words for snow.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And essentially, that was their concern. The fact that they had come around and it took them, you know, a good year, there was still concern about what people were going to say. So me doing the broadcast, I didn't actually tell them I was doing it. They kind of saw me on the television. So it was like
covered in rainbows.
Yeah, and glitter and sparkles. It was like a second coming out. And in funnily enough, like to my surprise, it's like because I did that, they were so proud of the fact that I had the courage to do it, knowing that they were still so concerned about what the community was going to say at large. So it almost kind of helped them bring them forward. And we went from that to last year on set, my dad, no word of a lie, was texting me saying, "Your tie's crooked, straighten your tie." And which, you know, he didn't get that it goes to air the next night. He was watching on TV thinking that, you know, it was live in the moment. So that was kind of cute. And, you know, now, you know, they adore my partner. We go for weekends away together. I have dinner at my parents often. And they're really involved in my life. And that's pretty, I'm choking up a little, sorry. But that's pretty special to me because I know that there's so many other young, you know, Arabs out there in Australia and young people from really, you know, diverse cultural backgrounds that have this kind of extra layer of baggage in the coming out process. Coming out is hard for everybody. That's just, let's just, you know, put that out there and make that clear. It is a very difficult process. For some people, it's not so difficult, but generally, it's always a bit of a thing. And, you know, when you're from a culturally diverse background, there's this whole nother layer of baggage that comes with it that you have to navigate through. And I think for many people, coming out is not an option when you are an Arab or, you know, you're from an Islamic background or you're Greek or you're Italian. It's a whole different kind of ball game.
Yeah, and you know, it's obviously still illegal to be gay in a lot of the Arab world, and a lot of even, you know, there have been marriages of convenience of young gay people just so they can stay in contact with their families.
It's still happening right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, before you came out...
In Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. And before you came out, did you ever consider that?
100%. I almost went through with it, actually. Yeah.
I didn't know that, Pat.
Yeah. Not many people know this this story, but basically I went through a whole process. I had a girlfriend at the time who is, you know, now my best friend. She's an incredible human. I love you if you're listening. And it's because of her that I am where I am to a large degree. She was incredibly supportive and she got me through some really difficult times. But, you know, we talked about getting married and kind of, you know, having this false sham marriage just so I could kind of live my life. I also was on a whole bunch of online groups which still exist in Australia where you can essentially go on, tell your story. They're all very closed, you know, private groups that are heavily moderated. And you can essentially meet someone and you both get a good deal out of it. Wow. And that's really common. It's happening like literally right now because for some of those young people, it just isn't an option. The idea of family and being without your family is so important. Like family is everything within many of these cultures. So what's at stake is huge and it's too much of a risk to potentially lose that if you do come out for many young people. So that's why those shared marriages do happen. And, you know, I have friends who are in marriages with children and are having sex, you know, with someone of the same sex, both boys and girls. And there's a lot of things I find problematic about that, but at the same time, you know, I feel like I have to support them because they're decisions that they've made for their own reasons. So there's no judgment passed on anyone. For some, it is really the only road to go down. There is no other option. Coming out just isn't something that they feel like they can ever do. I don't condone it. I don't, you know, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I understand that for some it's the only option.
Yep. And this is all why things like Mardi Gras are so important, to be able to build a community and a safe space for people to go and have a great time and, you know, be amongst their, you know, fellow queers. It's great. And thanks so much for coming in, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Is there a topic that you'd love to hear us cover? Let us know. Send an email to thehookup@abc.net.au.